In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Gracious God, I ask you to guide us in this sermon time, this message time, as we share together in this great gift of life, this great gift of light that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. May his light shine into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, to take away the darkness that so easily grips us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. With this sermon series we're in the midst of, called Goodness and Light, we've talked about do you hear what I hear? Then we talked about, do you see what I see? And today I get to talk about, do you know what I know? That's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? Do you know what I know? Now, how many of you have gone to one of those Christmas parties recently, or maybe you will go to one, and they give you that Christmas quiz, right? And you get a tell how much you know about the Bible, and it's, you know, like really scary because, you know, you're afraid to embarrass yourself. You should know this, right? You should know the Christmas story. Well, I came across a few questions to help you out in case you go to one of these get-togethers and they're asking these questions. These are sort of trick questions that you got to be careful about. So let me give you three or four of them. First one is this. When Joseph found Mary was pregnant, what happened? A, they got married. B, Joseph wanted to break the engagement. C, Mary left town for 3 months, and don't you love these? D, A and B, and E, B and C. So what do you think is the right answer there? You have to speak up louder. B, okay. B and C, okay, all right. Somebody said B and C, all right. That's correct. The right answer is B, is number E, which is B and C, all right, because now they got married later, but it was kind of chronological. He wanted to break the engagement, and Mary left town for 3 months, and then, okay, next one. According to the Bible, how did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? Camel, donkey, walked. Joseph walked, Mary rode a donkey. Horse-drawn chariot, who knows? D, Joseph walked. That's what you're saying? Okay. Well, if you read a children's Bible, that's the picture you will see. But the correct answer is F, who knows? Okay? Because it doesn't say in the Bible how they got there, all right? Trick question. All right. What is a heavenly host? The angel at the gate of heaven, an angel who serves refreshments in heaven, or endures, an angel choir, an angel army, or E, none of the above? C, an angel choir. That's what Don's going with there. He's writing it down. All right. What do you think it is? The correct answer is D, an angel army. In fact, the word multitude means a heavenly army. There could have been 10,000 to 100,000 angels. Any wonder the shepherds got a little scared there, right? Now, let me just say to you, as you read the Christmas story, try to answer questions, try to explain it to your children, here's what's most important. It's not what you know, but who you know. It's not what you know, but who you know. Now, I love to describe the Christmas story, and I have found for me personally, the best way to tell the Christmas story is through these wonderful children's storybooks. They do a great job breaking it down so that I can understand it. Now that I've got a granddaughter at our house living with us, and I'm reading these books to her, and we're sharing the story with her. I love our children's ministry here. Harper will be four in February, and so I was bringing her in here Friday morning for the Mother's Morning Out. And they were having a party Friday, and I said, hey, you're going to go have a party today. And she said, no, J. Paul, we're going to have Jesus' party. Okay, thank you for clarifying that for me, Harper Grace. But anyway, I love, again, it's very simple, the Christmas story. What you know, need to know, is an angel came down from God to Mary and told her that she would miraculously conceive the Immaculate Conception. Theologically, I believe that's very important. Jesus was born without sin so he could be the Savior of the world. People would dismiss, well, that didn't really happen. No, I believe it absolutely happened, and it had to happen for us to have a Savior who was without sin. So she miraculously conceived. She gave birth to a baby boy on Christmas Day. The angel told her to give him the name Jesus, for he would be great and would demonstrate how much God loves everyone. So Mary made a place for Jesus. That's how the Children's Bible describes it. Mary made a place for Jesus. The angels then appeared to the shepherds and told them to not be afraid because Jesus is born to you, 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 and you. Now, what does God want you to know about that? What does God want you to know about him? In regards to the Christmas story, is he wants you to know this, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you. God wants to get close to you. God wants you to make a place for him in your heart. Make a place for him. You know, almost all the religions of the world point us toward an idea. That they point us toward a principle, a philosophy, a list of do's and don'ts. The Christmas story, the story of Christianity, points us to a person, that God himself became a human being, that God was born in a cradle, in a manger. Why? Because he loves you. Because he wants to get close to you and have a relationship with you. God himself came to have a relationship with you and you and you and you. God wants you to know how much he loves you. Now, Stephanie read for us today the nativity story from the Gospel of John. Now, as she read the story, you didn't hear any mention of Mary or Joseph or angels or magi or shepherds. John is writing to what is known the Gnostics. Those are the people in that time who thought they knew everything. And they thought if they knew everything, if they just knew everything, that's all they needed. But again, it's not what you know that's important. It's who you know. And what John is pointing us to here in his gospel is that Jesus Christ brings a new beginning to the history of the world. A new beginning. It's the greatest event that's ever happened in all of history. You know, I love how he uses creation language. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Then verse 14 says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. You know, the Bible tells us that when anyone believes that Jesus is the Son of God and invites Jesus into their life, they become a new creation. That the creation story happens in their hearts and lives. They have a new beginning, a new beginning. Now, Christmas celebrates that this light, this person, Jesus Christ, has come into the darkness. And I believe the great hope of Christmas is what it says here, in John's Gospel. The light shines in the darkness, Christmas, Jesus Christ being born, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness can never extinguish it. Say that with me. Can never extinguish it. Now, how many of you, when you got up this morning, you either looked at the headlines of the newspaper or you went to your internet and you looked at the headlines, and before you even looked at them, you probably had this thought, I wonder what bad thing has happened today. What bad thing happened while I was sleeping last night? Because our world is so full of bad things, so full of darkness. But the promise of Christmas is, no matter how dark it gets out there, no matter how dark it is in your life right now, the light of Jesus Christ will never, never, never be extinguished. Amen? We need to celebrate that. That's our hope, that the light of Jesus Christ will never be extinguished. It's not what you know, but who you know. Now, there's a big difference between knowing about God and really knowing God. There's a lot of people that know about God. That's not going to get you very far. You need to get to know God. In fact, they did a survey, and over 90% of the people that were surveyed said that they knew about God. And some of them said they believed in God. But for many of them, they believed that God was distant. He was out of touch with humanity. He was way up there or way out there somewhere, but just distant. Not involved with our everyday life. Now, some people like it that way. Because if God is that kind of God, then I can do whatever I want to do. Because he doesn't care. It doesn't matter. But that's not the God of Christmas. The God of the Bible came into the earth to get personal. The God of the earth, the God of creation, the God of everything, came into this world because he wants to get to know you and you and you on a first name, day to day, every hour, every moment basis. This is the God that we serve. Now, I love these words from Jeremiah chapter 9. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. It's not what you know, but who you know. Now we celebrate that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come in to our world to give us light. But the reality is that there's a lot of people blinded by darkness, are there not? There's a lot of darkness in this world that people can't see the light of God, the reality of God. And that's why John 3:19 tells us there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Why? Let me read these words to you. And the judgment is based on this fact, that God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. God has come into this world in light, but people are blinded by darkness. There's this ongoing battle between darkness and light. And we see it every day, do we not? Every day we see the battle between darkness and light. I love these words from 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is from the Message version. All they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness. Now, we live in a world and a culture that has made darkness fashionable. Darkness is now popular. The fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and they won't have to bother believing a truth. Now, what did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the light and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. They won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the displaying brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us, say this with me, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because Jesus Christ gives us the best picture of God that we'll ever get. And if you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, and you are letting his light shine through you, you're going to give people a picture of God. And what are they seeing about God when they look at your life? Now, what is darkness? What is spiritual darkness? Basically, spiritual darkness is when I'm doing my own thing. It's whenever I'm doing what I want to do. Even though I may feel or hear the voice of God saying, that's not my will for you. Darkness is when I go down the path that I want to go down. When I'm blinded by my own wisdom, by my own perceived strength or my wealth or my prosperity. Darkness is the place we can't comprehend or experience God's best. So often we miss God's best because we're blinded by darkness. God has so much more in store for us, but we're blinded by the fashionable gods of this world, a place where we can't rescue ourselves from. I want you to hear that. You and I cannot rescue ourselves from darkness. We can't save ourselves from darkness. Only one can do that. They are reborn, it says in verse 13, not from a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. In darkness, things don't make sense. In darkness, we can't figure out why things happen. It's why you feel like you're beating your head against the wall in darkness. Blaise Pascal said these words, in faith, there's enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Leave that up there for a minute, if you would. In faith, there's enough light. There's enough light in this world emanating from Jesus Christ, from this church, from churches all over this world, from you as believers, for those who want to believe. But there's also enough shadows. There's enough darkness to blind those who don't. And a lot of people are choosing to follow darkness rather than choosing to follow light. A struggle between darkness and light. Now, as we wrestle with that in our own lives, how many of us have a friend or a coworker or a family member that is overwhelmed by darkness? And we love them and we want to reach them, we want to rescue them, and they're overwhelmed by darkness. And we're just having a hard time reaching them. How do we help people break through the darkness? How do we help people break through the darkness? How do we help somebody that we love that's very close to us, that's overwhelmed by darkness? They can't see the light. They just keep making the same mistakes over and over again, going down the path they shouldn't go down. I was wrestling with that. As a pastor, every week, almost every week, somebody walks in and wants to talk about how do I change my life? How do I go in a new direction? And we talk about darkness, and we talk about the light of God and how he can change their life. But it's a little different when it's somebody very close to you, is it not? And sometimes those are the hardest people to reach. And so I called a good friend of mine this week and said, give me some guidance. Give me some direction on how I can do a better job reaching out to somebody who is overwhelmed by darkness. And they gave me these suggestions, and I want to share them with you because they really spoke to me. You know, people that are overwhelmed by darkness start calling the darkness good. You ever been around someone that starts calling the darkness good? That this darkness is good. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. You heard that, right? There's nothing wrong with this. This is okay. Everybody else is doing it. And then they find that the light is oppressive. And when you share light with them, they don't want to hear that. And they get defensive. So how do you reach them? These suggestions. First of all, this person said to me, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Because the reality is they don't have enough light to see. They can't see the darkness they're living in. They can't see their problems because they're covered up with darkness. So don't judge them. Secondly, show truth through love, grace, and compassion. Show them. Now, I needed to hear that word show. Because what do we want to do? We want to tell them the truth. We want to tell them where they're wrong. Show them the truth through love, grace, and compassion. This person said to me, that means you have to shut up and quit arguing and quit talking and just listen. That's hard for me to do. You know, our role is not to convict someone, but to come alongside someone. How many of us have a hard time with that? My job is not to convict anybody. My job is to come alongside people and share with them the grace and the love and the compassion of God. It's the Holy Spirit's role to convict them. It's the Holy Spirit's role to change them. And I was reminded that all of us at one time or another were living in darkness, were we not? Every single one of us were living in darkness. All of us are sinners, except by the grace of God. And what did God show to us? Grace, love, and compassion. Then they said to me, don't give up on them, though. Be patient. Be patient. Remember the prodigal son and how patient the father was when the son wandered into darkness and wandered into the shadow lands and lived there and squandered all of his inheritance and wasted his life. But the father never gave up on them. And then he said this, always pray for them. Pray for them. So don't judge, show truth through love, grace, and compassion. Don't give up and pray. And God gave me these four things to pray. And I don't think they're on the screen there, but write these down. Four things to pray for someone who is overwhelmed by darkness. First of all, pray they'll come to their senses. Pray they'll come to their senses. And number two, pray they'll be safe. Pray for their safety until they come to their senses. And then pray, thirdly, that they will surrender to God. And fourthly, pray that somebody will come into their life that will show them the light. Somebody, whether it's you or somebody else. And I just want to encourage you to pray for that. Pray those things for people that are overwhelmed by darkness. That we would not judge them. That we would show them love and compassion and grace. They would be patient and pray they'll be safe. Pray they'll come to their senses. Pray they'll be surrendering to God. And pray that somebody will come into their life that will guide them and direct them. And it may not be you. It may not be me. But God will bring somebody. I'm reminded again of the story of the prodigal son. What happened to the prodigal son? He came to his senses. He came to his senses and got up and said, I'm going to go back to my father. And what did his father do? He welcomed him with open arms and loved him and invited him back into the family. That's God's call for all of us as we reach out to people that are overwhelmed by darkness. Now, as folks come out of the darkness, and many of you here have come out of the darkness, and you're living in the light, and as we think about knowing God, and if you're here this morning and you don't know God, and maybe you're living in the land of darkness, I want to give you the benefits to knowing God. This is what can happen in your life. Very quickly, the first thing that happens is your adoption. I love what it says here. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. What a blessing it is to become a child of God. Now, some would argue, well, aren't we all God's children? Yes. But when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and invite him into our hearts, we become joint heirs with Jesus. We become brothers and sisters in Christ, and we follow him in commitment and gratitude and friendship and fellowship. We receive an inheritance as part of God's family, an inheritance here on the planet, but also in eternity. Out of adoption comes understanding. You know, to know God means you begin to understand God. Now, God is so large that we will never fully understand God. But the process works like this. The more we seek to get to know God, the more we'll begin to see him in creation. It's powerful to see God in creation, just to see his power and his majesty. We'll begin to see him in his word, and we'll begin to see God in other people. And the more we see him, I want you to hear this, if you've been living in darkness, the more you see God, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love him, the more you'll trust him. And the more you trust him, the more you'll follow him. And the more you follow him, the better you'll get to know him. See, understanding. And out of understanding comes this great thing, transformation. Whenever you come out of the darkness and begin to live in the light of God and Christ in your heart, it says you become a new creation. You get a start over. I love this statement. Tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. Say that with me. Tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. That's the hope that comes from God. That tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You know, I love the fact that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And what does he do with our sins? He spreads them as far as the east is to the west. As far as the east is to the west. Transformation. You know, I became a Christian when I was 14. And I was living in a land of darkness. I was overwhelmed by the darkness. I was terrified of darkness. I have a sister, and I've shared this with you many times before, but she was 15, I was 14. And she became addicted to drugs, and she still is addicted to drugs. By the grace of God, I chose Christ, and he opened up a whole new world to me, and transformation entered my life. And out of that came guidance. That's the fourth thing I want you to know, guidance. God started guiding my life. I love what Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God began to light up my life, and it became a light to my path. You know, Friday night, Lynn and I celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary. 38 years ago, Friday night, we got married. Thank you. You can give that applause to Lynn because she deserves it, 38 years. And so, you know, when you've been married 38 years, we're learning that you just stay home and cook dinner and look at pictures. You know, that's what you mean, 38 years been married, it's just what you do. So we started to get out the picture books and found this one. We found this one. That was 38 years ago, Friday night at 4 o'clock at the Baptist Church in Conway, South Carolina. And it was great. We got married at 4 o'clock. You know, at 4 o'clock on Sunday in a Baptist church, you got to get married at 4 o'clock because what happens at 6 o'clock in a Baptist church? You got training union, right? So we had to be done. So I go to all these weddings down, everybody has the first dance. We didn't get a dance at the Baptist church. I don't know. You know, but anyway, so we got married there 38 years ago Friday, and we celebrated that Friday night. And I asked Lynn, I said, we were talking about it, and I said, what was the song that was sung at our wedding? Because our group that we sang with came from Kentucky, and they did the music for the wedding. And the song that was sung was You Light Up My Life. Now, how many of you remember that song? 1977, right? Number one song, Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. And we celebrated that because God had lit up our lives, we had found each other. And now has spent 38 years walking together in marriage. We also kind of thought about this, that what would have happened had we not met each other? What if we had gone our own way and not followed God's plan? You know, the person that Linda had been involved with before she met me has had several broken relationships over these last 38 years. I grew up in a land of dysfunction and darkness, and what if I had not found Lynn? Where would my life have ended up? Would any of this here have happened? Would we have experienced what God has done in our family, in our lives, in this church, in over 38 years? Why? Because we invited Christ to light up our life. And we've been blessed by that. That's what it means to come out of the darkness, to say, God, I want you to guide me going forward. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like for you and your relationships or your family or your career or whatever God wants, but I tell you, God will light your path, and he will bring you into purpose, and he'll bring you into peace, and he'll bring you to a place of great joy. The benefits of knowing God. As I prayed about this message and wrestled with this message, it became evident that God wanted people to hear this message. Because there are people here today throughout the weekend that are walking in darkness, that are surrounded by darkness. Or you have a loved one who's surrounded by darkness, and how do we help them? Why did God do all of this? Because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ into the world to die for us while we were sinners. I love John 12:46. It says, Jesus says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I have come to shine a light in this dark world. I got a question for you this morning. What is more foolish? A child who's afraid of the dark or an adult who's afraid of the light? What's more foolish? A child who's afraid of the dark or an adult who's afraid of the light? Throughout this morning, throughout this weekend, there have been people who've stepped out of darkness and have walked toward the light of Jesus Christ. There have been people who have had their life changed by the light of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, if you're overwhelmed by darkness, to make a step toward the light of Jesus Christ. Or if you have a friend or a family member who's overwhelmed by darkness, that you will commit yourselves to pray for them, to be patient with them, to show them love and grace and compassion, to not judge them. But if you're here this morning, there's some things you need to do. You know, it's so hard to step out of darkness because you're scared. I'm going to ask you to do these things this morning. Will you come to God in honesty and humility? Will you say to God, man, I've blown it. I've been living in a land of darkness. Or God, you know my situation. My heart's breaking right now for a family member. Just be honest with God. Secondly, will you trust God? Will you trust him? I remember at 14, I had to take that step. Step out. And when I took that step, I trusted God. Did I know what I was getting into? Absolutely not. Did I understand everything? Absolutely not. Could I give you a scripture verse? No, I knew nothing. I had nothing. But I trusted God, and he changed my life. I'm going to ask you to, when you make that step, then to get into God's word regularly. You know, the source of light is God's word. The source of faith is God's word. The source of guidance is found in God's word. And the Holy Spirit will take God's word and put it in your life and guide you. And then I'm going to ask you to become involved where God's involved. Get involved. So oftentimes we stay in darkness because we never step out of the darkness, and we stay in a world of darkness and shadows. Step into the light. Get involved with what God's involved with. This is a church where you can get involved in so many things. It can change your life by getting involved. Don't just serve yourself. Get involved in making a difference. Be a light. You know, God says that we are not to hide our light, but to put our light on a lampstand so everybody can see it. See, this light of God is for you to share with the world. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you that you have spoken to us this morning by this wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. That in the midst of our darkness, you have come and your light is shining bright right now. And for someone who feels hopeless and has felt hopeless, that they see there's a glimmer of hope. Someone who feels lost can see a way home. Somebody here this morning is coming to their senses. Somebody here this morning is having their life changed. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Only you can do that. We can't do that, but you can. And Father God, for that family person right now who's wrestling and grieving over a loved one who's overwhelmed by darkness, I just pray you give them your comfort, but give them your patience. Help them to pray for the safety and for that person to come to their senses that you would surround them so they could surrender to you and that somebody would come into their life. Lord God, I just pray that you would move in us today. Thank you for forgiving us, and thank you for giving us this great gift of hope, this great gift of light, so that we can move out of the darkness. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now we're going to sing a closing song. And as we sing, I want to invite you to come to pray here at this altar. If you want to come and have one of our pastors pray with you, we'll pray with you. That's what someone did with me when I was 14, and it changed my life. Your life can be changed today. Or maybe you want someone to come and pray with you about a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody that you are just really concerned about. And he wants to pray. I had people come this morning and say, would you pray for my sons? Would you pray for my brother? Would you pray for my parents? You know, I prayed for my parents for a long, long time. And praise God, they stepped out of the darkness and into the light. That can happen for you today. Let's stand together and sing. And if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart to come here and pray for someone or to pray for yourself, we'll meet you here. Let's sing.